Hey, hey guys, we're the Hard Time Strong Men podcast, sharing up a better class of men. And today we are going over run, hide, fight. So references for today, we're going off of, you know, admittedly, begrudgingly, FBI, FEMA, and Homeland Security.
Still dirty.
It feels gross. Yeah. And I feel, but the thing is, I still feel legitimate with going with these sources because the FBI is the ones that are doing this. So, you know, they should know, right?
Yeah, they're employing the school shooters. Yep.
So I feel like that's a natural, you know, get to the source. You know what I mean? The source. But in all seriousness, guys, that was serious. But today's episode is on active shooters. So, hard times.
Yeah.
Times suck. I mean, what are you going to do? School starting, you know, people are, you know, I mean, crap, man, we just had a attempt on a president's life. And I feel like, you know, once again, the stuff that is being talked about, but it's always good to get down to basics, get everybody on the same level, because, and I'll type, I put down in the show notes, I think towards the end of the episodes and the key takeaways, but in action, like losing your head on this sort of thing, panicking just because you don't know what to do is the absolute worst case scenario. You are not only, you know, being a detriment to yourself, but you're being a detriment to literally everybody around you. So if we can curb that a little bit, then I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah. I gotta admit though, man, before we get into this, we are not that far removed from the time when people were driving around with rifles in the back window of their trucks. Their trucks unlocked at school with rifles in the back of them, and there would not be a school shooter. There wouldn't be a mass shooter, period.
Well, so it's really sad because I was just talking to an older gentleman. I mean, not even older gentleman. Like, I was probably, you know, late 50s, early 60s. And, you know, he's saying, yeah, just, you know, times are changing. It's like, well, yeah, dude, I'm 30. And I can literally look back at my very short life and say, yeah, like, I remember when things were different. Like, and it's crazy, but you know, the difference that he pointed out was, you know, it used to be, you know, all the, you know, these times are crazy. You know, back then it was better. You know, back when I was a kid, it was better. But now the old generation's like, oh man, like, or sorry, the reverse, you know, it'd be like, oh, well, back then it was harder, you know, dirt floorboards, you know, walk uphill both ways. It was harder back then. But now the old generation is like, oh, dude, this sucks. Like, it was easier. It was better back then. Like,
we need to figure out why things have gotten so bad. I mean, do we need to go back to like parents beating their kids to keep them in line? Like,
It's a good start.
I think more people need to get punched in the mouth for running their mouth, for doing stupid things. If people were more afraid to run their mouths, to do stupid things like this, we would definitely have less stupidity in this world.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think everyone needs to get punched in the face at least once.
Yeah.
I feel like that'll curb a lot of the stuff.
Especially these people that sit behind the freaking keyboard and run their mouths online. Like, yeah, okay, tough guy.
Zero questions.
Yes. Anyway,
that's not the DAS that we're on today. Today,
no, that's not the DAS that I was going to have anyway on it.
Today we're talking about pumped up kicks. So the FBI defines an active shooter as one or more individuals actively engaged in killing or attempting to kill people in a populated area. FEMA defines it as an active shooter as an individual engaged in attempting to kill people in a confined space or populated area. Active shooters typically use firearms and have no power into their selection of victims. As seen in the EU, it doesn't have to be guns, it can be knives or acid or bombs. An active shooting can happen anytime, anywhere. So,
better run, outrun my bullet.
So, purpose of this episode, we're trying to help prevent this from happening and to minimize loss of life. As part of our ethos, we're trying to protect and preserve human life. We're trying to take care of people. So, that's what we're trying to do today.
This is the awareness portion.
Yeah. You want to hit numbers?
Yeah, numbers. I love numbers. I love statistics. It makes Democrats' heads explode. So U.S. statistics for the year of 2023 are where we're pulling these from. So we had 48 incidences. And of those 48 instances, there were 244 casualties, with 139 being wounded and 105 killed. There were 49 shooters. And of those 48 incidents, 15 of those were mass killings. The federal definition of a mass killing is when three or more individuals are killed. And I feel like a lot of these statistics are also off because, what is it? The FBI classifies a gun violence. Well, they classified something as like some sort of gun violence, and it's only if there is one victim. If there's one victim, it's straight gun violence.
Does that include suicide?
Yes, okay. It includes suicides.
Yeah. So, and that's my whole thing is, when you actually spend more than 10 minutes researching how statistics can be, you know, construed, like how easy it is to, you know, shift opinion, you know, via statistics, it makes you distrust them immensely. Well,
the problem is cherry-picked statistics are cherry-picked.
Mm-hmm.
The news is going to go for the sensational stuff. Oh, there's been a mass shooting and blah, blah, blah.
Every time. Absolutely.
All these years, we have 300 and some odd instances of gun violence. It's like, yeah, but like half of those are suicides. And of the rest of that half, like a quarter of that or more is like accidental shootings where they were like cleaning a firearm or like checking it. And that's the whole thing, you can go in.
And whoever's making these statistics, they can go in and they can divvy it out by geographic area, by age group, by whatever demographic, until they get the numbers they want.
Yeah, so. And the big problem is people don't check them. They see it on the news, they hear it, they see a statistic on Instagram, they hear it from word of mouth, and they just treat it like it's a
podcast or whatever. And they just
like, what are you guys doing? Like, use your freaking heads. There's a reason why we keep getting idiots elected to Congress and into the presidency. And I'm going to put this out there. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. And I think that all these people that have been getting elected for the last, oh, I don't know, since I've been alive, have been total idiots and really have no business running this this country.
But you said company and you were right. I will say also. Is a company. I will also say that these numbers are pulled from the FBI databases, so that particular link is in the description. So y'all can go check this out and see where they're pulling all their numbers from.
In fact, I encourage you to
please check us. The references, guys, in every episode, it is not just for, you know, craps and giggles. We want you guys to keep us accountable. And we want to keep you informed. That's why we put on every single episode that's not our own ideas or our opinions. We're going to reference it.
Right.
So, hey, Hoozle.
And anyway, back to the numbers. So, resolution of these shootings. So, shooter resolution, 7 were ended by suicide, 12 were killed, and 30 were apprehended. Firearms that were used, here's where it starts, you know, coming into pictures, and it should make you go, you would think, based off of what politicians keep, you know, regurgitating, what the media keeps pushing, that the number one most used firearm in all these instances is going to be the AR-15. And you would be wrong. The number one firearm used is handguns by a large margin. 72%. 72% of all gun violence, these we've stated, has been the handgun. 27% have been rifles, and that includes bolt actions. That includes lever actions. 2% are shotguns. Now, of these instances in the locations, the majority of these take place in open space. 28 of them take place in just an open area. 14 have occurred in commerce areas. 3 have been in education. 2 have been in healthcare. 1 has been in a residence.
Yes. So, like we'll dig into in the initial, like the preventing or preventive portion of the episode, you know, open spaces and commerce areas. So, wherever you are in your day-to-day, be cognizant of the space that you're in. There, you know, is a reason why the numbers say what they do, given the nature of the kind of attacks that we're discussing today. You have to think, you have to put your mind in the, you know, in the place of, you know, of the shooter, where they're going to get the most shock and awe, where they're going to get what they want. So, preparatory phase before.
Hang on.
Oh, what?
Before we get into that, let me get a little patron thing in here. This podcast is sponsored by Blackbeard Firestarter. Blackbeard Firestarter has been our first choice in Firestarter since they introduced their Firestarter rope years ago.
Blackbeard offers their fire starters, their fire plugs, arc lighters, ferro rods, stormproof matches, everything you need to get a fire started.
Their products are made right here in the U.S., wind and waterproof, have an insane burn time. They're basically dummy proof.
And help you out, Blackbeard let us cherry pick from their store everything that we want, everything that we thought you needed to get a fire started, and we call it our Hard Time Strongmen Fire Kit. On top of that, they're also offering a 15% discount on anything in their store when you enter code STRONGMEN at checkout.
We can't recommend Blackbeard enough. They stand behind their products, and so do we.
Be sure to check them out at blackbeardfire.com and on Instagram at blackbeardfire. And as always, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.
So, preparatory phase before an incident, okay? So, everyone's heard of see something, say something. So, what that means, if you see suspicious activities, so someone who's suspicious, someone who acting, looking, talking suspiciously, notify the relevant authorities immediately.
Don't be suspicious. So, be suspicious.
Please stop.
Sorry. I'm not sorry.
Someone with a gun that, you know, shouldn't have a gun, shouldn't be there. People who just look out, place who are acting wrong. Use your gut on this. You know, don't. Yeah. My whole thing is like, especially like, you know, I know people who are just like, oh, well, I didn't know. So, and they don't trust their gut. Be loud,
dude.
Like, if you don't, like, if something doesn't feel right, you'll, that's a feeling. Like, that's a real thing. Trust that.
Yeah. If something feels just, if you can't place it and it feels off, get out of there. Just leave.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, like I said, you know, notify people, be like, hey, this dude shouldn't be here. What's going on? And, you know, get this stuff rolling. Cause, you know, like what we saw with the, you know, with the assassination attempt, you know, people seeing something, saying something, and then police not doing anything about it. Oh, holy crap. The president got shot. I wonder why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People, you know, need to do their due diligence. We'll talk about violence of action later. But also in preparatory phase, so schools, employers, places of worship, you know, other high traffic areas, many of them are going to have SOPs. Many of them are going to have plans specifically for active shooter scenarios. Ask about these plans. Ask how you can, you know, get familiar, ask how you can be involved, but familiarize yourself and your family with these plans. if they don't have a plan, fix that.
You said place of worship, and it flashed me back to that shooter that tried to do something in this was years ago, that tried to do something in that that church, and there was like three or four armed deacons or ushers.
Nice.
And they just mowed the guy down.
Yeah.
In the middle of church service.
Yeah. So I didn't do it at this church because they were pretty squared away, but last church that we were at, pretty small, you know, small town, you know, Texas Southern Baptist Church. But you know, we became members. I went, you know, to one of the meetings, and you know, they asked me if I had any questions. I was new there, so I'm like, hey, so what's our security plan? What does that look like? You know, if there is an active shooter, because you know, we're seeing that more, and you know, guarantee this, we're gonna start seeing more of that. We're gonna see an uptake of that in places of worship. But I said, well, you know, what's our plan? And you know, just based off of that question, figured out that three or four of the old timers there all carried every Sunday. And I said, okay, great. This was a generally older congregation. It's like, so, you know, what would it look like? You know, how could we spread people out? You know, because it's a pretty small, you know, small church, small, you know, small footprint. Like, how can we spread people out to where we can cover, you know, what entrances and exits we know are there? You know, what is this response going to look like? And, you know, I didn't write the policy, but, you know, I got the conversation started and getting people in that framework. So,
yeah,
once again, seeing something that's wrong, i.e. you don't have a freaking policy, you don't have an SOP, and changing that.
It could even be like, you know, they have a policy, but it sucks. Like, just bringing attention to something like that can change and even save lives.
Oh, absolutely.
So don't be afraid to speak up.
Yeah. And on that same note, setting up an SOP for you and your family, your friends, your family, you know, what is it? You know, what does your circle look like? Who's carrying a firearm? You know, what does it look like when we're out in public? If something happens, if there's a panic, if there's a shooter, whatever, you know, establishing security, who has the kids, who's leading, who's following, you know, who are we listening to? How are we, like, are we holding hands? Are we, you know, grabbing pant loops or grabbing, like, what does this look like? Because you don't want to figure, and we've said this in several episodes in the past, you don't want to figure this stuff out in the moment. You know, this needs to be set up beforehand.
Yeah.
And whenever you visit a new area, identify at least two nearby exits. Make this a habit. Anywhere you go, anytime, this should be a implied task, a natural thing that you always do.
Yeah, especially restaurants, businesses, like, they will have rear exits. They will.
Oh, dude. So restaurants, stores, the UPS store. I mean, wherever you go, you know, you should be thinking of where your nearest exits are, just as general situational awareness.
Yeah. Because 9 times out of 10, a shooter's not going to come in from the back. They're going to come in from the front. So be looking to get away from them. And that means going through the store, through the restaurant, and out the rear end entrance. You're going to want to identify and map out good places to hide and wait. This is also a very, very good thing to make as a habit. You're going to be looking for rooms without windows. You're going to be looking for areas that are behind solid doors with locks, under or behind heavy furniture. Just use your imagination. Use common sense. Think critically on this.
This is like spicy hide and go seek.
Yes. Spicy hide and go seek. But this does have real world consequences. So try to take it seriously. It's, you know, at this point, it's not a game.
I was going to say our sense of humor is just dark. Charred. Yeah. Very dark. But in all seriousness, you know, and I try to make it simple like that. You know, think of it as hide and go seek, you know, because that childhood version of you, right, will make a game of it. And that makes it easier for you to learn, easier for you to do these things in the moment. But, you know, think critically.
Yeah.
Because you have another person who is thinking, looking for you. So.
Right. Think like they would and try to outthink them, basically.
Absolutely.
Also, get some good training in. So you're going to be looking for active shooter scenario training, first aid, stop the bleed, TC3, firearms marksmanship. Just keep going. You know, whatever you're going to end up thinking that you're going to need in an active shooter situation, either before, during, or afterwards. So we're thinking firearms, we're thinking medical, we're thinking it's just tactics. Like
I was going to say, Chris Cook, had him on the show before, Odyssey Training and Consulting. Great resource. Does a lot of those kinds of classes.
Yes. Odyssey Training. Odyssey, right?
Yeah, Odyssey.
Yep.
Good thing of his banner on Instagram, whenever it goes to everybody else, join the Odyssey.
Join the Odyssey. Yeah. First aid. There's plenty of
stop the bleed, TC3, TECC, like there's so many.
Oh my god.
Hit up your local like BLS training center. Because they'll do, mm-hmm. you know, basic TCC. They'll do, you know, your first aid, CPR, all that stuff. And it's just like, one, it's just a great thing to know as an adult, right? We all have the same body, same type of body. So being able to help people, render aid to people, that's, you know, part of the ethos. That's what we're trying to instill here. That's what we're trying to foster here. So you should be doing that anyways. Right. And then getting good with a firearm.
That's a given.
Not just buying a Glock and thinking you're good to go because you have it.
I cannot tell you how many times I see people saying, "Hey, yeah, I bought a gun. You know, I'm good to go. It's for protection." I'm just like, "Okay, cool. Have you shot it before? Have you taken a class? Have you, you know, trained at all? Have you done tactics?
Had a buddy show you the four rules of gun safety? It just kills me. You know, this is not a skill that you can just, you know, buy yourself out of. It's crazy.
Do you know which way the rounds go into the mag? Or are you still calling bullets and clips? Like, come on. Have you taken it apart? Do you know how to clean it?
So many things. If you do know these things and you know people like that, please fix that. Don't let them just stumble around in the dark. Because you're fostering death there. If you're allowing someone to just wallow in, you know, that lower standard in that inadequacy, that's, you know, that's on you, man. You're totally able to fix that.
Yeah, you're allowing them to be a liability to themselves, to others, to you.
Yeah. So, perfect example. This is not the class. Ugh. No. But I had my sister visit us for a little while. She visited for a week, right? And bless her heart. Anyway, says something about, you know, about shooting her handgun. And she showed me like teacupping her Glock. And I said, "No, we're not doing that today."
Really?
And I'm like, "What the hell did your husband do? Stop it." And I just stopped her. And I'm like, "No, we're not doing that." And 20 minutes just sat there, went in the safe, got the stuff. And I just ran her through dry firing. And, you know, I literally, until I was satisfied, and I'm like, "There you go." Like, I don't know how you made it this far without anybody doing that, but there, we fixed it. You know? And, you know, we live on the other side of the country from each other, but anytime I go there, I'm going to go shooting now and make sure that she's good to go. But just someone taking the time to not be like, "Oh, you know, yeah, you'll be fine." You know, no, that's not how this works. Take care of your people.
But she wasn't fine.
Was not fine. Take care of your people. But moving on. So during the incident, FEMA calls this Survive. That's pretty much the only model that I've seen, at least going through like high school, college, you know, professionally. This is the only training that I've really seen. But run, hide, fight. Is the the three tier three option model. Granted, every situation is different. Every person is different. Your training, your situation, criteria, timing, whatever. But this is the catch-all. So act accordingly. So run. Remember all those escape routes that you identified and memorized? Time to use those.
Yep.
So making distance between yourself, so you and yours, and the shooter or shooters is the top priority. You are leaving your stuff and you are running away. If it's safe to do so, warn others in the nearby area. Only call 911 when you are safe, when you are out and away from the area. If you see the shooter trying to remember their likeness, the weapons they use, their location, anything that you can do to help out first responders, stay low and fast. Most of these guys aren't well trained. They'll rely on easy targets, targets of opportunity, and accuracy through volume. Use cover and concealment. Use your head.
So in the Army, we did a very similar thing where if we were breaking contact, we would try to put at least one terrain feature between us and the people trying to kill us. And this is the same basic principle. You're trying to put as much crap between you and the shooter as possible for protection.
Right. Because these 17-year-old dirtbags are using Black Daniel defense with iron sights. So it's not going to be that great. But thinking of that. So in this case, concealment is just as good as covered when you're making distance. Right.
Yeah.
So if you're running through a marketplace, if you're running through a school or whatever, desks, chairs, doors, tapestry, anything to, break that line of sight is going to help you immensely.
Yeah. If you can't run away safely, just find a place to hide. Don't make it too obvious. If you're standing behind the curtains with your feet sticking out. Yeah. This
isn't Scooby-Doo. You're not going to be okay.
Don't cartoon this. Remember the hiding places you identified, memorized. You're going to be now using those. So you're going to be getting out of the shooter's view, staying silent, not quiet. Silent. Silence any electronic devices. So your cell phones, your watches, tablets, pagers, if you still have them. What the heck is a Vocera?
That was for me. Vocera is essentially walkie-talkie in a hotel or in a hospital.
Okay.
So your nurse will hit it. Vocera, hey, call such and such. It's just interpersonal communication within a hospital.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I know what those are now. Yeah. I see them all the time at the VA. Definitely don't turn them on vibrate. Silence them. If you get your position given away because your phone vibrated, I hate to say it, but you deserved it.
You know what I'm just thinking of? I think of Jurassic Park. Was it 2?
That was 1.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. No.
I think it was 2.
That might have been... No, that was 3. When they
Are
went
you
back
sure?
Out. Yes. Because 2 was when Jeff Goldblum came back and the dinosaurs were on the ship and then they escaped on the mainland.
Yeah. I need to rewatch those. That's what I think of. But
they're terrible.
Sorry, I put the bullet point twice in there. Vibrate doesn't count.
It doesn't.
Because my phone does not leave vibrate. I don't even know what my ringtone sounds like. Like, it's always on vibrate because I can hear that from across my house.
Yeah, especially if it's on a hard surface. Oh my God.
Yeah. So, like, I visit my folks in Oregon, right? And someone had their phone on vibrate. I'm like, hey, someone's calling you. And they're like, what? I said, yeah. And it was in like one of the lady's purse, like in the other room. I'm just like, it's such a distinctive sound. But
it is.
No, vibrate doesn't count. Turn it all the way silent, or just turn it off. Because once again, you're not going to be calling people until you are out and away. That is not your priority.
Yeah.
So,
and
especially, I just want to say, especially for Voceras, because sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but especially for Voceras or Pagers or things like that, I'm actually working with my department right now to set up a SOP for our clinic as far as after shooters go, where everybody has their Vocera completely silent. Because just watch someone randomly call you while you're hiding. I mean, it's such a risk.
Yeah, but the calls need to go out, not in.
Yes.
So it's just, it's not worth it. Yes. Anyway, lock watches, and block your doors.
Yes. I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off.
Suck this.
But there's so many things. There's so many things. So phones, smartwatch, tablets, pager.
Yeah. All that stuff. If it can receive an electronic signal and notify you in some way, you either need to smash that thing or turn it off or silence it.
Such an anxiety for me thinking about this, because I'm just imagining hiding with somebody and then like their watch starts vibrating and it's like, well, thanks for that.
If I'm in that situation and something vibrates, I'm taking it and I am destroying it. We'll get you a new one later.
Yeah. After we leave.
If we survive.
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyway. When you're hiding, you're going to want to lock and block the doors. Use heavy furniture to barricade them. Close the blinds. Turn off the lights. Make it look like nobody's in there. And even if they figure out that you're in there, make it as hard as possible for them to get in. Make them want to give up.
That's what I was going to say, is these guys are looking for targets of opportunity. They're looking for the most shock and awe. So they are not going to spend too much time trying to get into one spot. Most of these guys are not going to be repeat offenders. Most of these guys are one-shot wonders. They're going to have their one day to do whatever evil they're going to do, and then they're either going to die or they're going to be put away forever. So they know that subconsciously, and they're not going to spend too much time trying to, you know, go through a door that's been blocked by a couple hundred pounds.
Yeah. I personally prefer it when they get lead poisoning.
I think it's the only just way to end it, but yeah, anyway,
that and pedophiles. So you're going to want to not hide in groups. Make and keep spacing in between yourselves, along the walls, in different hiding places, etc. Make it difficult for the shooter. Because if you're clumped up and the shooter knows this and he starts, say, shooting through these paper-thin walls that we have in buildings, you know, they don't make them like they used to with center blocks and stuff. Really, it's just drywall, maybe some metal framing if you're lucky. But generally, it's drywall. It's not going to offer too much protection from, you know, lead poisoning like I was talking about. So,
well, and the thing is too with that, so essentially treat this as concealment.
Yes.
So if you're on an interior wall, it is not going to be a center block. It's going to be very thin drywall. But if you're able to, so like in my department, so in my clinic, right, we have all these, like supply rooms that you have to badge into, right? No one else has those badges, right? So that is a safe place for me to hide. Someone goes up there, can't open it. There's no way you're going to open it. They move on. However, if they just pop at waist height through the wall, that's got a chance of hitting you, right?
Yeah. So
think of that. So don't just stand in a corner to like stock still, trying not to be lay down. Guarantee he's not going to be going at an angle to try to hit the floor.
Yes.
He's not going to. They don't think like you and me. You know, these guys are sick in the head. They're simple. But
thank you for reading that. I was actually gonna hit that next.
What?
Yeah, don't stand up, because chances are they're gonna be shooting at waist height anyway. So
yeah,
anywhere from waist to chest high. It's like the strike zone of baseball. They're gonna be shooting there.
Mm-hmm. So try to get as much as between you and whatever area they could be in. and stay low, 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 low and quiet.
Well, if you can communicate with first responders, do so quietly by text, signs out the window, flipping them a bird, what something, get their attention, you know. Don't make it too obvious to the point of where, you know, the shooters can hear you inside the building, like screaming and yelling and banging on stuff, trying to get somebody's attention. But like, you know, visually try to get their attention.
Yeah.
Because chances are, if you're in a hospital or some building with, say, I don't know, really good windows, you sitting there screaming at people outside, they're not going to hear you. But you know who is going to hear you? The shooter.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind.
So as with any other video you see on the internet, the woman screaming in the background is not helping.
No, she is not. I hate those videos so much. It makes me want to actually punch that woman in the face.
We'll talk about violence fashion in the key takeaways, but that's not helping.
No,
it's not helping. And you're drawing more attention to yourself. Quiet. Yes. Quietly. Yes. If you have a pager, if you have your, you know, your phone, you can text, you can. Yeah. I mean, even 911, you can text, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. At least I'm pretty sure
you can. Stay in place. I think you can. I think it's been a few years now, but and stay in place until first responders give you the all clear.
Or the get the F out.
Right. You want to have this one?
So, yes, I do. I love this section. That brings us to fight.
I'm so excited. Run, hide.
Around and find out. So, as a last resort, defend yourself.
Fight.
Yourself and yours. Fight. This is violence of action. Like, there. Be so violent that they sing songs about you, kind of thing. Be violent very quickly and decisively. Do not hesitate. Eliminate the threat because nothing else matters.
This like is the last resort. This is the last thing you can do. So in all the videos where they're teaching run, hide, fight, this is where you hear the guy coming around the corner, you're hiding, and you have a couple seconds until you're going to be face to face with this dude. And this is your last shot.
Yes.
And your shot better be violence.
Yes. You
violence are aiming, of action. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you're aiming to disable or destroy this person.
Yes. Violence of action is your friend. Most everybody who commit these acts, most everybody who do these things are untrained cowards. And they will flinch in the face of excessive aggression.
Yes.
They think they're going after wounded gazelles. You got to fight like the third monkey going for the ark. Like this is
starting to rain.
This is your last thing. The last thing that you could possibly do. And you better put your whole heart and soul into this.
Yes. The ambush is your best bet. You know, work together with people. If you don't have weapons, you really should have weapons. You need to find some or make some.
Yep.
Period. Like
absolutely. Blunt weapons, cutting weapons, stabbing weapons, books, chairs, laptops, box cutters, scissors, broken glass, pens, pencils, etc. At all. Fill in the blank. Literally anything.
Fire extinguishers, chairs, yeah, everything. You're aiming to distract, disarm, and incapacitate this person. Like,
if it's not, because here's the thing: if it's not just you, you're fighting for everyone else too.
Yes,
because enough. If enough people fight, they will fall.
Yes.
Period.
We say this all the time in the military: speed, surprise, violence of action.
So aiming to distract, disarm, and incapacitate until they don't move anymore.
Yes, if they are still breathing, they are a problem in my mind.
My thing is, what we were always taught is if they're still moving, if the target's still moving, it's a threat.
Yes.
So and this person, and think about rationally, right? Because a lot of people shy away from violence, but think about it. You're going to Costco on a Sunday. You're going to church, right? Mind your own business, being peaceful. Okay. Someone else comes in, doesn't care who you are, doesn't care you have a family, what you've done, nothing. They're just in there to harm, to hurt, to maim, to kill. So stop it. It's as simple as that.
You can also conceal carry everywhere in all 50 states as long as you're not a little.
If you're not a coward. Yeah. But the you should have a weapon rant is in the key takeaway section. So we'll wait for that.
Yeah. Oh, God. What was I going to say? I was thinking of something else for this.
You'll get there.
Oh, yeah. So. And when we say you're fighting, you're fighting for your life. Think of how many times you've seen a bad movie where someone is like hand to hand fighting this person, or they shoot them and they're just like, oh, good, they're dead. Oh, yes, I can breathe. They turn their back and then the dude just pops back up. If you are in this situation, I'm only going to say this once. And this is not legal advice. This is, hey, as long as there's not a camera, you can make up the story later. Make sure they're dead.
I treat it like Battlefield 2. Everything in the box should be dead.
Yes.
You should not have to make another Passover. If you have to do another Passover, you failed. Someone else has to do your job.
And I'm not a lawyer, but I feel like in this situation, all bets are off. Like, this is self-defense.
And I would rather be alive than, you know, have to worry about that later.
Correct. Yeah.
You know what? You want to give me, you said like every like B-list horror movie. You know what gave me trauma was I with you when we were playing the new Call of Duty and you're going through the hospital. And then those dudes just like sit up in the hospital beds and start shooting at you. Or was I with somebody? I was either with my brother-in-law or I was with you, but like you're going through this hospital. Oh, then there's like all these gurneys, all these hospital beds. And then like, you're about to move through. And if you're not checking these guys, the two of them like sit up from like a lay position with AKs and just tear you up.
I don't remember like, that one.
Oh dude. Yeah. Absolute horror material. Like that's so stressful. However, anyway. And after the incident, FEMA says, be safe. So keep your hands visible and empty. It's a quick takeaway that law enforcement does not expect this, does not want this, and they're very stressed right now. So try to not look threatening.
Yeah,
or anything that screams, please shoot me right now.
Yeah, law enforcement's first task is to end a threat or the incident. They will probably pass the wounded along the way, so you're going to want to know how to apply self and first aid
and follow their instructions as they make their way through and evacuate the way they tell you to. Do what they tell you to.
Yeah, do what they tell you to.
Do what they tell you to. Do what they tell you to. And after everything's all said and done, if you need to, consider seeking professional help for the long-term effects of this trauma that you just went through.
Yeah, I'm not saying consider it. I'm saying do it. Because whether you think you're fine or not, you will. You absolutely, 100%, beyond the shadow of a doubt, will have lasting long-term effects of trauma from an incident like this.
Well, I was just going to say, like, trauma doesn't care who you are. You will pay your dues in one way or another with this sort of thing. So having someone help you can absolutely change the outcome of that in the healing. So don't shy away from that.
And trauma will manifest itself in one way or another. It is not the same for everyone. It could be agitation. It could be nightmares. It could be
anxiety, depression,
behavior. Yes, anxiety, yeah. Depression.
Waking. I mean, there's so many ways, but you need someone to help talk you through this.
Yes.
So highly recommend that. I was just gonna say, I didn't have a good place to put this in the show notes, but you know, my hometown had two active shooter events, one at the high school and one at the community college.
Jeez.
So I was not there for either of those, but very, very traumatic, you know, events. I don't know what the motive was at the high school, but at the college, it was specifically targeted against Christians. Ended up killing 8 people. Mm. So, yeah, very, very not good. But
yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't think we've ever had any active shooters.
So you've been all over, man. You know what? I should have the map open. I had a map of the FBI had like a map of, you know, active shooter incidents via state. It had like, you know, a little color graph. But anyway, Wizzle, key takeaways. Yeah. Key takeaway 1, situational awareness. It'll save your life.
This will.
So this, and we've been pushing this since the fifth episode? Situational awareness. I mean,
yeah,
this is something that should be on all the time. And you know, it's going to help you immensely. What was the state where that happened where the dude's girlfriend, the dude's wife was like, babe, he has a gun, and dude just drilled this guy from like 50 yards in a mall. You remember that?
Okay, so that was my hometown.
Nice.
So it wasn't my hometown. It was the mall down the road from my hometown. It happened in Greenwood, Indiana. My hometown was Indianapolis. So it's like 15, 20 minutes away from where I lived. So yeah, like you said, I can't remember if it was his girlfriend, wife. It might have been his mom. I don't know. But regardless.
No significant other. But yeah, lady friend had her freaking head up and eyes open.
Yep. And he was about his business. Drilled his business. That dude with a pistol from away.
I love that.
Like, he used one of those, like, just standalone, like, signs.
Well, yeah, and he just, it was a pillar, right? Well, it was a pillar, and he leaned against it for stability. It just, yeah, drilled the dude.
Just smoked that dude.
Heads up, eyes open. See something, say something. You know, if someone looks like they don't belong there, they probably don't. Just being aware of your current situation, your current environment, is putting you far and away ahead of 90% of everybody else.
Yeah.
And it's far better to avoid this kind of situation than survive it.
And tying in with that, trust your gut. Like, if something just feels off, if it looks wrong, if something's inside your head, just like poking you in the chest, like, hey, listen to it. Absolutely. Yeah. Listen to it. That intuition will save your freaking life. Even if you're wrong, it's still going to keep you safe.
Yeah. And, you know, not just you, but your loved ones, like, foster that. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't tell you how many times, like, I've told my wife to listen to her gut. Like, and I'm very intentional. And like, I'll tell her, like, I 1000%, like, I will drop everything. Like, just tell me if this is a gut feeling, we're going to trust it. Your instincts are there for a reason. Like, yes, have a solid critical, you know, your critical thing, you have a logical, you know, line of thought. But if you have a feeling about something, tell me. Like, it's my job to listen to that.
Absolutely. My wife has that all the time. Like, she has an incredible, incredible situational awareness and, like, just gut feelings. Like, if something's off, she tells me, and it's just from there, it's we're out. We're done. Like, yeah. we're leaving. Period.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We are Irish goodbye in that situation.
The Irish make a comeback. Yo, firebombs in 2024. What a world we live in.
Anyway, that's not what an Irish goodbye is. Irish goodbye is where you don't say to anyone. You just slip out.
No, sorry. You just said Irish and it made me think of what's going on in Belfast right now.
Yes.
Valor slash mental toughness. Valor slash mental toughness. So just because the world is blowing up and going crazy does not give you a pass to lose your head. Do not be the screaming woman in every one of those freaking videos. Stay focused. Keep your head in the game. People are counting on you, even if it's just you, to survive. You do not you do not get the green light to freeze up. No. You have to act.
Yeah. If anything,
you can put that in a box. You can revisit that later.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you have stuff to do.
Yeah,
that's either getting out of there, hiding, or fighting.
If anything, the state of the world is just God for interrupting all the time. If anything, the state of the world is just, this is more than enough of a reason to keep your head about you. Like, this should make you double down on this.
Yeah.
God. And violence. Violence of action. I can't say this enough. Make them absolutely crap their pants. Like, if you need to run, run. If you need to hide, hide. But if you need to fight, just make even the cops fear you. Make the cops walk in and go, what happened? What did you do? Kind of thing. Be so violent that the Vikings write songs about you.
Well, it's not just in the fighting. I mean, it's violence of action. Mm-hmm. So like you said, if you're going to run, run. If you're going to hide, hide. If you're going to fight, fight. Violently.
Yes.
Like, this is like the if this situation, you know, God bless. Like, I pray to God this doesn't happen to any of you. But if this happens, these are the three, at least maybe the last three things that you do.
And if you're going to do them deliberately.
Like, do it with all of your might. Like, everything.
Because,
you know, just your life, like, and people hold life. Back so much.
Yeah. They hesitate. They freeze up.
Yes.
They have to. It's like, people's lives, your own life, is depending on your action. Do it. If you're going
to
do it,
our culture has taught us. Yes. I mean, our culture has taught us to hold back. Like, oh, well, maybe, you know, oh, well, no, screw that, man. Like, yeah. If you're going to do something, like you said, do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Just do it.
Just Shia LaBeouf. Do it.
Yes.
And you should be carrying a weapon. Period. Flat out. You should have a gun. I don't care. I don't care about the law. I don't care about where you're at. You should have a gun. Because you're responsible for your life.
Yeah. Gun-free zones are for prey.
Active shooters don't care if it's legal to carry a gun, because they're about to do something that's extremely violent, horrible, and illegal.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care.
They don't care. And guess what? I don't either. When it comes to my safety, my family's safety, my friend's safety, I don't care. I'm just going to say it. Screw your gun-free zone. I'm not going to be a victim.
Well, the thing is, the school board, like the board of directors for the bank or whoever's running the voting center, doesn't matter. They're not in charge of my family's safety. Nope. The law enforcement down the street is not in charge of my family's safety. I am. So yes, I am going to be carrying a firearm, regardless.
We've stressed this before, and I'm going to say it again. The government does not care about you.
No, they hate you.
Do not give two craps about your safety. If you think that you do, you're an idiot. Plain and simple.
Absolutely. If you can't carry a firearm for whatever reason, carry a cutting or a stabbing tool.
We've hit this in previous episodes. G10s.
Absolutely. What was it? Defense distributed, Revenant Core, Violentium systems. All those guys have G10 readily available. Especially I just saw on Revenant Core, he made a, so he has the normal Sharpie, all made G10. Dude, he made one for Milwaukee. The Milwaukee pen. Oh, it looks so good. So clean.
Nobody's going to question a Sharpie in your pocket.
I carry one every single day.
They may question, you know, if you bought it there, but then, you know, when it doesn't write, then they're probably.
So here's a quick fix for that. So mark it with a Sharpie. Mark the tip with a Sharpie. Because if it doesn't write or it writes a little bit and then it doesn't, it still smells like Sharpie. You say, oh, man, it must have died.
Fair.
So if you can't carry a cutting or stabbing tool, yes, you can. You're just not using your imagination. If you can't, for whatever god-awful made-up reason, carry any tool of any kind, real or imagined, your mind and your body are already your greatest weapons. Train them and act violently.
And along those lines,
jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, Krav Maga, boxing, kickboxing. Train your body, train your mind.
Critical thinking. Look to critical your environment thinking. For weapons as well. Look to your environment for weapons as well, because there will be plenty. I'm sitting here in my daughter's nursery, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, well, there's a lot of weapons in here. There's a lot of weapons in here. Oh, well, I don't know, man. What else you got?
Are you looking at my video?
Oh, now I am. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got plenty in here. Yeah.
Granted, it's my office, but.
Right.
The key is acting violently.
Yeah.
And the answer is violence.
Let's see. There's a mirror up on the wall. I would take off and smack the crap out of somebody in the face with. There's a lamp. Pictures on the walls.
Holy crap, man! I mean, and like
this laptop.
I mean, there's so many things, and there's so many things that people can't take off you. Like, wear a thick ring. Have a freaking necklace with like large dowels on the end. I mean, just like there's so many things that are just too easy that people overlook. Holy crap, dude. Like, I went through the airport last time I flew with my trekking pole as my walking stick because my knees hurt because the army. If I take the rubber cap off the end, that metal tip is going to do something very violent. And they can't take off me because it's a medical device. I mean, there are work through your environment, have an imagination. Do the thing. It's not that hard.
Here's a question for all y'all.
I hate helplessness. I can't stand it. Cool. Yeah.
Do you wear a belt? Does it have a metal end on it? There you go. Imagine getting hit with that thing in the face. Yeah, your elbows. Yep. The elbow, if you drop a 12-6 freaking elbow on somebody's face, you're going to
the north south.
You're going to break their skull. If you throw that thing hard enough, you will go straight through to the back of their head.
Oh, dude, I don't know. I don't remember if it was an elbow or I think it was an elbow. Guy had, I think he was going clincher, he was going full guard, hit this guy over the head, knocked his freaking ear off.
I saw that.
It's like, goodness.
That's
nasty.
They're so sharp. It's scary. They're allowing you to do north-south elbows now. Yes, in the UFC, they changed the rule. You can now do elbows from the top. Yes. Not like, you know, crossbody. I'm talking like straight up and down.
About to make a name for myself today. Oh, it's going to be juicy. Guys, that is all I had. You have anything, man?
Patrons. Stay tuned for your post show.
Guys, we hope you never have to use this, but this was a breakdown of run, hide, fight for aftershave scenarios. As with anything, you know, check us out on Discord, on Patreon, leave a comment on Spotify. What do you think of the episode? What do you want to hear next? Just let us know. We're always listening. And until next time, we're the Hard Time Strongman Podcast, cheering up a bear class of man. Stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight. Check out our Discord, where we talk about all of the topics that we talk about in our conversations, but in deep dive format. We have a lot of members on there of varying skill sets, of varying proficiencies, all talking about all these topics, sharing their experiences. So join today and help us expand our knowledge base.
And check out our Patreon. Our Patreon, outside of just backing up all of our episodes for when we eventually get canceled, our patrons get access to our exclusive episodes, our pre-shows, our post-shows, our little tidbits here and there that we aren't really supposed to talk about. We're also opening up all of these exclusive episodes for people to individually purchase. So you don't have to get tied into a tier in order to get all that content. You can dip your toes in a little bit, decide you like it, then come and join us on that. We're having exclusive conversations. And along with the Discord, we are just building that community, building that skill set, that mastery, these proficiencies. And this, outside of our sponsor, is what's keeping the lights on and keeping all of this information, all these classes rolling for you guys. So make sure to check out our Patreon. And one last thing, guys, the world is better with you in it. If you're feeling suicidal or if you're in crisis, dial 988 or reach out at 988lifeline.org to get help. Someone's always on the line. So if you need a lifeline, remember 988. Stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.